Sex. S-E-X. Sex. I know this is a little, I know some of you guys are getting a little uncomfortable right now. You guys are like, what? He said the S word at church. It's a little awkward. I know we do this every February, and some of you guys dread it, but I think it's so important. Normally, we do love, dating, and sex. But seeing that most of you guys, if not all of you guys, except for one that I know, are not really dating. So we figure, why are we talking about dating if you're not even doing it? So we just took that out. We just talk about sex. We're just going to talk about sex. Because the reality is, a lot of you guys are engaging in sexual activity. Some of you guys are having sex, or some of your friends are having sex. Some of you guys are masturbating, watching porn. And in subtle ways, some of you guys are engaging in sexual activity subtly through the clothes that you wear, or what you don't wear, and how you show the world your body. Some of you guys are engaging in sexual activity subtly through the conversation you have with your friends, or what your friends talk about their own sex life and how you engage in that and how you talk about it. So it's all around us. Sex is all around you. And you guys are inundated with the message of sex from the world's point of view, right? Like, look at the media, your TV shows, the TV shows that you watch. A lot of it is oriented around sex. Bachelorette, Bachelor. You guys like that show? I hate that show. My wife, she loves it. And it's all about sex. Just hooking up and all these different things, right? Other shows that you guys might watch, How I Met Your Mother, a lot of sex stuff on there. All these different shows, a lot of sex. Not all about sex, but there is a lot of sex. And it has a specific message that it's saying. If you watch HBO shows, Showtime, a lot of those shows, even though they're great dramas, a lot of sex, a lot of nudity. Look at the movies that you guys watch. PG-13, it's pretty, a lot of sexually explicit stuff. Rated R, again, nudity. Like even Titanic, right? It's a great movie. Awesome, but there's nudity in there. A lot of sex scenes in there too, right? Everywhere you go, you see it. You look at radio. A lot of the radio stations that you listen to, Kiss FM 102.7, a lot of the songs, the rap songs, R&B or whatever you listen to, a lot of that is revolving around sex. The parties, the drugs, the drinking, all that sex. Even advertising magazines that you guys like to look at, Victoria's Secret, I mean, it's turned out, first started out like a magazine, now it's like a show on TV, and they have like this whole thing that everyone's like into, right? Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, like it's just everywhere you go, there's like sex all around us. And as all the media and entertainment is surrounding us with sex, it has a very specific message that it's saying to us. One of the messages that it says is that it's okay to have sex as a teenager. It's okay to be engaged in sex as a teenager. There's a statistic that says 13% of U.S. teens have had sex by the age of 15. 13%. That's pretty small, right? That's like maybe 1 in 10 people. But the same stats show that when you turn 19, it increases to 7 out of 10 people have had sex. So when you're 15, only about 10% of your peers have had sex. But when you turn 19, about 7 out of 10 people have had sex. Because you're like, whoa, that's pretty high. I know that's a C still, but that's a pretty high average. Because when you go to college, it's a whole different world. It's a whole different place. And a lot of people are going to be engaged in it. Not everybody, but a lot of people. So it's no shock for me when I hear some of my former students in junior high or in college, and I hear about their stuff and what they're doing. It's no surprise for me when I find out that some have had sex. Some of them have done it already and they've gone that far. It's not a surprise. I don't expect it. I don't want it to happen. But it's not a shocker for me when it does happen. Because the reality is a lot of Christian people have had sex before marriage. That's a reality. A lot. At least, I'm sure 7 out of 10 holds true for the Christian community too. While they're in college. So it's a high percentage and amount. Another message that the world is saying through media, especially through TV, because you see it on TV shows and episodes and all these different things, is that it's okay to have a one-night stand. It's okay to meet a girl at a bar, have sex, and then forget about them. That's normal. That's fine. It's common. It's okay. Another message that your friends might be saying in high school especially, very prevalent in high schools and college especially those who are Christian, they say, you know what? Oral sex is okay. It's not really sex. right? It's not engaging in the traditional sexual activity. So it's okay to have oral sex because that's not considered sex. So it's that line is okay. We're good with that stuff. You can still be good, holy, whatever. So a lot of people, based on what the world says and what your friends say, you think it's okay. So that's why we're doing this sermon series, because the world has a very specific view of sex and a message on sex, and God has a different view of sex. God created sex, God made sex, and so he has something very clear about the best kind of sex that God has made. And he has a very clear message on sex and your sexuality. And so we're going to look at God's heart behind sex and how and what he created this for and how and what the purpose of it is. So today we're going to look at more of a theological big picture of sex. And I was hoping to finish it by today, but there's just so much stuff. So we're going to do part two. And then next, the following week after that, we're going to look at masturbation and porn. The week after that, we're going to look at body image. And the week after that, we're going to look at the line, the physical boundaries. What is the line in a dating relationship? So this is going to be like one long conversation that we're going to look at. We're going to look at bigger picture and then go down, down, down to more specific things. So if you don't come in, if you come in later in the weeks and you're just like kind of lost with what we're trying to do and talk about, I encourage you guys to take notes and share with your friends and talk about it, because it's going to be one long conversation that we're having, and hopefully you'll get all the pieces, because it's very important today what we talk about, because it won't make sense unless you get today. All right? So with that, let me just pray, and we'll get started. Father, we just come before you, and we just want to listen to you and what you have to say, because we've heard the world's message, we've heard what the world said, and we want to listen to you. We want to just hear what you have to say about sex, because you created, you know how to, what your intention and purpose and design was for that, and I pray that we would just understand it right here today, and that you would just calm our hearts and help us not to focus on the weirdness of it and the grossness of it, but help us to see the beauty of it and your heart behind it. Thank you, in Jesus Christ, and pray. Amen. All right, so with that, can you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to be jumping around a little bit. While you're turning there, I'll just share some breaking news for me this past couple weeks. For those of you guys who don't know, I like to eat cereal, right? That's normal. But I don't put milk in my cereal. I put oranges. Okay. I know. That's not the shocking news, guys. That's the old news, right? But this past week, I know, Tommy, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I use orange juice. But this past week, I haven't had orange juice in the house, all right? Because, you know, we're not going to buy it for NK24. But I had mango juice in there in my fridge for whatever reason. It was just there. And so I was really debating about this and talking about this in my head, like, do I use mango juice in the cereal? And I was like debating. I was like, dude, I have standards. I don't think I could do that because mango juice is thicker. It's not as like watery as orange juice. So I was like debating with my head, like, dude, how low am I willing to go? If I go mango juice, what's next? You know, like, what, I have to have standards. So I was debating with myself for a little good 5-10 minutes. Then I was like, you know what? I love my Honey Bunch of Oats. Let's do it. Put the mango juice in, it was like a thick kind of, you know, liquid, but put it in my mouth and it was delicious. It was like eating cereal and having a glass of mango juice all together in one. It was awesome. So if you don't have orange juice or milk, mango juice is a great alternative.
Is that your breaking news?
That's my breaking news, guys. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty life-changing. If you guys want me to hold your hand while you do it, I'll be there. It's approved by me, all right? So go for it. All right, with that, let's read Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Adam lay with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. All right, we'll just stop there for a second. Let's look at that first part again. Adam lay with his wife, Eve. What does that mean to lay? The traditional sense of lay is what? You lie down. You lay on the ground. You stand prostrate, right? Does that mean like Adam and Eve were just lying down on the ground with their clothes on and being like, hey, Eve, hey, Adam, like, good day today, right? Sucks that we got kicked out of the garden. It's crappy here. We have to work and we have pain and suffering. But, you know, whatever. And then, is that what it means? And does it mean like, oh, they were like cuddling and spooning and just chilling together and all of a sudden they got pregnant? Obviously not. To lay means what? They had sex. They were naked. They had sexual intercourse, and We know that because she became pregnant right after that. So the biblical term for sex is to lie down. So guys and girls, be very careful if a guy or girl comes up to you and says, hey, do you want to just lie down here for a second? You'd be like, whoa, are you talking about biblical lying down here? That's sex. And I just got to know you right now. I don't know if I'm ready for that. So just be very clear, which one is it? So you gotta be very clear, because biblical lying down is sex. So be very clear. Now, I'm just making fun, it's joking, but if you look at the NASB version, can you go to the next slide? NASB, that's a more literal translation of the Bible. NIV is an interpretation. Next click, yeah, there, stop. Now go back. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, this is what he says in the NASB. Now the man, Adam, knew his wife, Eve. So NIV translates knew into lay. But the actual literal translation of lay is knew. That's weird. That means to know or to you knew him, her or knew him or know that person. That means to have sex with that person. That's a weird way to say it, right? Because usually we say, hey, if you meet someone, I just want to get to know you. I just want you to know me, who I am. Right? That's a weird way of using know to refer to sex. But here in the Bible, that's exactly the way it's written. So another thing, guys and girls, if a guy comes up to you and says, hey, I just want to get to know you, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Are you talking about biblical knowing here? Because I just found out that means actually sex in the Bible. So let's be very clear once again. Do you want to lie down with me? Or do you want to know me? Or do you want to just really know me? Like me up here or, you know, naked know me kind of thing, you know? So you got to be very clear because biblical know me and lying down is very different. Now, the meaning of know or to knew in Hebrew, it means, next slide, yada. Not like yada, yada, yada. Like not that kind of English way that we look at yada, but yada in Hebrew. That means to know, be known, and deeply respected. Yada. To know, to be known, and deeply respected. That's yada. So when you see Adam and Eve, Adam knew his wife. Adam yada his wife. He knew his wife. To know, be known, deeply respected. You see this throughout the Bible. Look at Genesis 4:17. He says, Cain knew his wife. Cain lay with his wife. Cain yada his wife. Genesis 4:25. Adam lie with his wife. Adam knew his wife. Adam yada his wife. Genesis 24:16. Rebecca, no man ever knew her. Yada her. She was a virgin before she got married. 1 Samuel 1:19-20, Elkanah knew Hannah. Elkanah yada Hannah. So here in the Bible, yada is referred to as having sex. It's a physical act. But why does the Bible use this word to know or knew? That's so weird. That's strange. It doesn't make sense. Because the Bible is teaching us a very important thing. Thank you. That's my daughter. God is teaching us that yada sex, is being about physically intimate, physically vulnerable, physically personal. While Adam and Eve were lying down next to each other naked, they were getting to know each other's bodies, allowing the other person to be known, their bodies, and deeply respecting each other's bodies. They were being very personal, very intimate, very vulnerable physically together as they lie down together. They were getting to know each other's bodies and understand each other's bodies and respect each other's bodies. Kind of like John Mayer, the song that he writes, Your Body is a Wonderland, right? Adam and Eve were like enjoying each other's wonderland of a body, right? And they were just exploring, enjoying, respecting, honoring each other's bodies. It was this mutual, intimate, personal time, yada, to know, to be known, and to deeply respect. This type of sex is very intimate. Bless you. Have you guys ever been to Jimjibum? In Korean, it means public bath, right? Some of you guys do not like to go to the public bath because when you go to the public bath, you get naked. And some people do not want to see other people's junk in the trunk, right? They're just like, I don't want to see that. I get that. That's understandable. But some of you guys do not like to go to Jimjibum or Korean bathhouse. I'll just say Korean bathhouse because you're scared. Because you're ashamed. Because you're embarrassed of your body. And maybe you're very insecure of how you look and how other people will perceive you and think about your body. So you're scared to go. You're insecure about it. And that's actually a normal response. Because Adam and Eve, right when they sinned, what was the first thing that they did after they ate the fruit? Their eyes were open and they covered themselves. They realized that their bodies, everything, their private parts were showing to the other person, even though they've had sex before. But now they're ashamed and embarrassed about it because their private parts are exposed. So they cover up their private areas. They cover up their imperfections. They cover up the parts of their body they don't like and they're ashamed of, embarrassed, and insecure about. They cover it up because they don't want the other person to see it. Even before the fall, they were naked and walking around naked and just chilling. But now after the fall, they realize, oh my goodness, I'm embarrassed about my body. I'm embarrassed of how I look. I'm ashamed and insecure. So they cover themselves up. They didn't want to show that part, that private part, that imperfection. I went to Jimjibum or Korean bathhouse a while back, and if you know anything about it, there's three parts to a Korean bathhouse. There's a guy side where the guys hang out and they get naked and walk around naked. There's a girl side, and the girls do the same thing on their side. They have like a steam room and pools of water where you can just chill and relax. And they have this common area in the middle where the guys and girls can come together with clothes on. Guys will wear like a blue little shorts and shirt, and girls wear pink or purple or whatever they have. And they'll come in and you can just hang out. You can eat together, play, go into sauna rooms together, and just chill. I went one time, and I was in the common area, and I went to the public, the bathroom in the common area. It's like a single, right? I just locked it. But for whatever reason, I think because I was in the steam room for too long, so I was like dehydrated, not thinking. Like I thought I was in the guy's side, right? So I was like, if I'm already on the guy's side, I'm going to go out and we're going to get naked anyway, so let me just take off my pants and just get ready for that. Why, you know, I like to be efficient. I'm Asian, right? So I'm, you know, I took off my shorts and I'm just chilling there, peed, and then washed my hands. And then I want to be clean. But then I open the door, and I'm expecting to see all these naked men, right? But I see this one woman that walks by, and it's like, literally, time just froze for me. I see her, and I slowly look up, and she's wearing pink. And I was like, it's in my head, I was like thinking, this is weird, but okay, whatever. So I'm about to take a step out, and I see her face, and notice, remember, I'm like half naked. And I look at her, and then it finally clicks, like, oh my goodness, I'm not on the guy's side. She's not in she's in the wrong side too. So I got really confused, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh dude, this is not good. Because another girl walked by, and she looked at me, and we locked eyes, and then she looked down, and I was like, oh my goodness. And I took my shorts, and I covered myself, and I closed the door, and I was thinking like, dude, that's only for my wife's side, that's not for your side, you know? Like, I was very, very embarrassed. And ashamed, you know, I was like, dude, like, well, I'm not ashamed, but kind of embarrassed, you know? It's a little embarrassing to show your jewels and your goods to someone else that's not your wife, right? So I was a little embarrassed and ashamed that split second because, you know, I don't want her to think I'm a pervert or something. It's embarrassing. And the point is, a lot of us, we are embarrassed to go out naked and have other people see our imperfections, our bodies, and how we look. Because a lot of times we don't like the way we look. And so we don't want other people to see it. It's okay if you don't want to go to the Korean bathhouse because you don't want other people to see you or whatnot. That's fine. I get that. But if you have that same level of grossness and you're scared and don't want to do that insecurity with your husband or with your wife, you will never experience yada sex. You will never experience this physical intimacy with your lover, with your husband or your wife. Grace and I, we have sex, we're married, right? And I know that's a little gross for some of you guys, and I'm not going to talk about it, but I just want you to know that we have sex. And we try to have yada sex, where we get to know each other's body, be known by the other person, and deeply respect each other's body. Where we're mutually affirming and encouraging and loving each other through our bodies. And when you do that, you have more confidence in each other, you have more confidence in yourself and how you look and what you think, while you encourage and love each other through that. You don't experience shame or embarrassment or think, oh my goodness, what are they gonna think? Because I could be like, if I was really insecure, I'd be like, oh my goodness, I don't want Grace to see my big calves. I don't want her to judge me and think I'm an ugly man or whatever, right? Like, I don't want her to do that or think that, so I get scared, right? But we don't have that, because we let each other be known, affirm each other, and love each other through our bodies. So because of that, we have total confidence, we have total freedom, we have total vulnerability and intimacy with our bodies. And because of that, we can walk around naked. I can walk around naked in the house and not be like, oh my goodness, I hope she doesn't judge me or think my body is imperfect or nasty or gross. I don't have to fear that, because we have yada sex, where we know each other's body, be known by the other with our bodies, and we deeply respect each other's body. So sometimes I do walk around naked in my house. You know, it's kind of gross. But I do, because I don't have to fear or worry, like, what's she thinking? Is she going to judge me? Is it, you know, I don't have to worry about that. It's yada, to be known, to know, and deep respect. That's why a lot of times today, you see in the movies, when people have sex, they usually have it under a sheet or blanket, right? Because they want to cover up their bodies. They don't want the other person to see their bodies. Or a lot of times in the movies, you see them having sex with the lights off, because they don't want the other person to see the imperfections, their bodies, the insecurities that they have. They think if I turn it off, they want to see it. They don't have to notice it. They could just have the act of sex without understanding and having yada. That's why when you close your eyes, you guys want to, or when you kiss each other, you guys close your eyes because you don't want the other person to see you, because you don't want to have, you want to think about this fantasy and just think, dream about the kiss rather than understand the intimacy behind it. Yada is mentioned over 900 times in the Old Testament, 947 times to be exact. And it's used to refer to sex, but it's also used in another different way. And it's a little strange. Next slide. If you look at Psalm 46:10. Next slide. Click. Psalm 46:10, it says this: be still and know, yada, that I am God. That's a little weird, because we just found out that yada means sex. So is he saying, be still and sex that I am God? That's gross. Sex, God, that doesn't make sense. Is that what is he saying? But if you look at Exodus 33:17, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I yada you by name. God, sex you by name? That's weird. Deuteronomy 34:10, since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord yada face to face, whom the Lord knew face to face. So this is a very weird way that now the Bible is using yada, where we just saw in the beginning, opening first sex scene in the Bible with yada laying down. Now we see it here used in a different way to refer to God in our own spirituality. Yada, and that's the big point that we're trying to make here. Next slide. Sex is not just physical intimacy, but it's also spiritual intimacy. Because when you have sex, yada, with your partner, your spouse, you want that yada kind of sex. And also the same word, that same level of intimacy, you want that with God. Yada. To know God, to be known by God, and deeply respected by God. And for you to deeply respect God. It's the same idea with your husband and wife, that kind of sex, as it is with you and God. Because when you're with your husband and your wife, your spouse, and you're having this kind of sex, yada sex, you're being spiritual. You're being physically naked with each other, not ashamed and not embarrassed. You're allowing each other to know and explore each other's body. When you do that with God, yada with God, you're being spiritually naked with God and allowing God to see the imperfections and allowing God to respect you and love you and affirm you. So you have nothing to hide. There's no secrets. There's no embarrassments. There's no shame. There's just utter love and peace where you know God, you're being known by God, and you're deeply respecting each other. It's that kind of yada relationship with God. Example, Psalm 46:10. I prayed this prayer many times growing in the past few years. And I prayed in my closet, and I just say that one line of the verse over and over. I just say, be still and know that I am God. I just repeat that over and over. And when I do that so much, I yada God. I know God, and I allow God to know me because I open up my heart. And I just be still and yada God. I know God and allow God to know me. And I just have this amazing, intimate, vulnerable relationship with God where we just connect, where I just feel His utter love for me. And I understand who He is and allow God to see who I am. All my dirtiness, my imperfections, all the secrets, all the things I've been holding, I allow Him to know it and allow Him to touch that part of me, to deeply respect and change me. Yada me. It's an amazing, awesome time. Where sometimes I'm just overwhelmed by His love, and sometimes I'm just crying. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is overwhelming. This is beautiful. To be yada by God, and for me to yada Him, that's awesome. I have another friend. He's a pastor's kid, went to the same college with Grace, and Grace knows him more than me, more of a friend to him than I am. But smart guy, got an MBA, got a great job, made a lot of money. But he went through depression, loneliness, he had a gambling addiction, drank a little bit, went to see a therapist, he was just spiraling down. His body was shutting down too. He couldn't sweat, and he loved to play sports. Think about it, you like to play sports, but you can't sweat. That means you can't play sports, because that's how your body cools down. That's how your body kind of brings your body temperature down. So he couldn't do that. He couldn't eat apples. So he's just kind of spiraling down. So one day he went to the Bethel Church Retreat in Reading. Not Bethel here, but Bethel, Bill Johnson, the whole Jesus Culture Church. He went there, and he's still there at their year-long retreat. And when he was there, he got to yada God. And he was God yada him. They got to know each other. He's spiritually connected with God. He had this intimate, vulnerable, amazing connection that was so personal with Him and with God. It was yada. It was amazing. And it's phenomenal. After he had those moments, and he continually does, his life has been changed. He doesn't have depression anymore. He doesn't have loneliness anymore. His apple allergy has been cured. He actually doesn't, he sweats now and he plays sports. His body has been cured because God has touched him and healed him. Because he yada'd God and God yada'd him. He has that intimate, personal connection and relationship. Isn't that awesome? Sex is amazing. God created, God made it. God doesn't make anything crappy or bad. It's always the best. Sex is awesome. But yada sex is physically intimate and also spiritually intimate. Yeah, my daughter thinks so too. But the reality is, when you go to college, and if you're part of the 7 out of 10 people that are engaging in sexual activity, more likely than not, you're not going to be experiencing this kind of yada sex. You're not going to be able to experience a spiritually intimate, connected, vulnerable kind of sex. Because the reality is, it doesn't happen. There's a statistic that was done on girls who had one-night stands, and it showed that 41% of the girls who had one-night stands, this is how they felt after the night. 41%. They said they felt awkward, used, dirty, empty, regretful, ashamed, alone, miserable, disgusted, duped. Because a lot of times when the girl comes out of a guy's room after a one-night stand in college, the dorm room, they go through a walk of shame. Where it's like dirty, it's like gross, you feel nasty. Where a guy walks out of the dorm room after having a one-night stand, and it's a walk of fame. Where it's like he's proud, the guy's like, dude, good job, man. You're the man, right? Versus the girl, it's like shameful. It's like, oh, you're a B or you're a all these other names. And it's very shameful. And a lot of times girls do feel ashamed. They don't feel the yada sex. They don't feel like, wow, this is it. This is awesome. So if this is not yada sex, then what is it? There must be some other explanation. Let's look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 33. Next slide. Now, let me give you a little backdrop to the story. Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed. Lot and his daughters escaped. Lot is a Christian guy, and he escaped with his daughters, right? They're the only three together now. And this is what happened. Because now the daughters are freaked out because all the guys in the city are dead. They're like worried about their own future. They're not going to have kids. So what do? This is their plan. That night, they got the girls, the daughters of the dad, they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and lay with him. He was not aware of it when she laid down or when she got up. Think about that for a second. Your daughter gets you drunk, and your daughter sleeps with you as a dad. That's gross, all right? Now, the same word that we looked at, lay, we looked at in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It means sex. So they had sex. Is that the same word, yada? I hope not, right? Because yada sounds so awesome, exciting. I want that. That can't be it because this is nasty. And it's a different word. Next slide. The word that it's here is shakab. Shakab. Whenever you see the word shakab, usually it's always paired with another Hebrew word, sikba. And that means emission. It means to exchange your bodily fluids, like when guys release sperm, semen. That's what it usually paired up with. So when you see this shakab, it's just purely physical. It's not yada kind of sex. It's not this beautiful kind of sex that God created. This shakab sex is the world's version. It's just physical. It's just selfish. It's just purely ungodly, arrogant kind of sex. It's not yet done. It's not intimate. It's not personal. It's not to know or be known or deeply respected. Because the daughters, they didn't care about that stuff. They just wanted to get pregnant and have a baby. So they did whatever they took to get it done. It's very selfish, very arrogant, very physical. There's no yada. The reality is today's world and culture, it sells you shakab sex. It does not sell you yada sex. It sells you shakab sex. How do we know this? Because the world has taken yada and twisted it into shakab. And you see that today. Look at the list. You see one-night stands, hookups, porn, masturbation, adultery, lust, oral sex, bestiality, pedophilia, incest, homosexuality, prostitution, fornication. That's not yada sex. That's shakab sex. When you have shakab sex, the effects of that makes you more lonely, more depressed, more sad, angry, bitter, depressed. You go down. It's not up. Not making you feel better. How do I know that? Look at Hugh Hefner. There's an article done in 2001. I shared this last year when we did Song of Solomon. Hugh Hefner, the guy who most of the world looks up to and thinks he's the man, he can't get pleasure, and he's been with a lot of beautiful women. The way he has pleasure now with sex, his girlfriend said this about him. Former girlfriends, because he had many. He says, the heterosexual icon Hugh Hefner had trouble finding satisfaction through intercourse, through sex, with one-on-one. Instead, Hugh Hefner liked the girls to pleasure each other while he masturbated and watched gay porn. Those are his former girlfriends that are saying that about him. It's not like a guy is randomly saying it. They know how Hugh Hefner gets pleasure. And he's had sex a lot, and most guys want to be him, but he does not understand yada sex. He doesn't understand to be what it means to be known, to know, and deeply respected. Because the sex that he's gone through is shakab. It's just purely physical. It's just purely selfish. It's just purely for satisfaction and pleasure rather than yada. When you have yada sex, it's awesome. It's joyful. It's powerful. It's peaceful. It's loving. It's affirming. It builds you up. Shakab makes you feel lonely and sad. Not all the sex that you're going to have in the future is the same kind of sex. If you're part of the 7 out of 10, you may go through a lot of shakab sex until you finally start looking for that yada. But you need to first start with God. You need to have a yada with God, a yada relationship with God. To know God, to be known by God, and deeply respected by God so that you can have that yada sex with your future spouse. Girls, I know you hunger for this intimate and personal kind of love, right? Where you want to be chased, pursued, and loved. And a lot of times, girls, you guys settle for shakab love with a guy because you're willing to do anything for that guy to like you back. Whereas guys, you hunger and want that physical, sexual pleasure, and so you settle for shakab with porn and masturbation rather than aiming higher for yada, something more beautiful that God had in store. Some of you guys may not care to yada God, to know God. But regardless of where you're at in your life, your spiritual life, whether you're a baby Christian, don't know God, doesn't matter. The reality is God yadaz you. And God wants to know you, and He knows you intimately, personally, and vulnerably. God yadaz you. How do I know that? Psalm 139, next slide. These are God's words, not mine. This is what God says about you. O Lord, you have searched me, and you yada me. You yada when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you yada it completely, O Lord. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How many of your dads have told you that? Your works are wonderful. I yada that full well. My frame, your body, was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. Search me, O God, and yada my heart. Test me, and yada my anxious thoughts. God made you before you were born. God yadaz you. He knows you. And He wants you to yada Him, to know Him. Isn't that awesome to know that you have a heavenly dad that yadaz you? We're going to read this poem. Oh, not the poem. This poem, poetry. We're going to read this together one more time. But I want you to personalize a little bit more, because I think sometimes you say, you read this and you're like, oh, that's not me. But it is exactly for you, because God is saying this to you right now. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to break it down very slowly. And you can repeat it after me out loud. And if you need to close your eyes and just try to picture God saying this to you, because He does. If that helps you, then do that. But if you want to just keep your eyes open and just look at the words. But try to say this as a prayer. Try to believe the words that God is saying to you, because they are life-giving and they are powerful. Try to just experience this yada, to know that this awesome, mighty, powerful God yadaz you. Alright, so I'm going to read it slowly. You follow along out loud and read it, or say it to yourself as a prayer. And if you need to say it louder just to convince yourself, do whatever you need to do just to believe these words, alright? O Lord, you have searched me. This is where you go. Okay, now we need to practice this, so let's try it again. O Lord, you have searched me.
O Lord, you have searched me.
And you yada me.
You yada
when I sit and when I rise.
You yada when I sit and when I rise.
You perceive my thoughts from afar.
You perceive my thoughts from afar.
You discern my going out and my lying down.
You discern my going out and my lying down.
You are familiar with all my ways.
You are familiar with all my ways.
Before a word is on my tongue. You yada it completely, O Lord.
You yada it completely, O Lord.
For you created my inmost being.
For you created my inmost being.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Your works are wonderful.
Your works are wonderful.
I yada that full well. My frame was not hidden from you.
My frame was not hidden from you.
When I was made in the secret place.
When I was woven together in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes saw my unformed body.
All the days ordained for me.
Were written in your book.
Before one of them came to be.
And I want you to say this as a prayer, because it's a beautiful line. Search me, O God, and yada my heart.
Search me, O God, and yada my heart.
Test me, and yada my anxious thoughts.
Test me, and yada my anxious thoughts.
I want to encourage you guys to understand and just meditate on this verse every day this week, especially if you guys are struggling with knowing if God loves you or has a plan for you, or He made you. I encourage you guys to understand and yada God, and allow him to yada you. And for those of you guys who are settling for shakab kind of sex, I encourage you to stop whatever is influencing you, whether it's a movie, TV show, radio, whatever it is, and start to yada God and let God yada you. Let's pray.